Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Dealing with China by Henry M. Paulson Jr. is a non-fiction account of how China became a central force in the global economy, told through the author's direct interactions with Chinese officials and business leaders. Paulson draws on experience from two vantage points that shaped the book's perspective: his years at Goldman Sachs and his time as United States Secretary of the Treasury during the George W. Bush administration. The result is part memoir, part policy, and business primer, focused on what it takes to work effectively with China's system of state-guided capitalism and one-party political control, rather than offering a single theory of China's rise. The book emphasizes practical understanding who holds power, how decisions are made, and why economic reform and political limits coexist. Its purpose is to help Western executives, investors, and policymakers engage China with clearer expectations about incentives, constraints, and risks, while recognizing the scale of China's ambitions and the stakes for the global order. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inside access to power and how decisions actually get made. A central value of the book is its depiction of China through the lens of high-level meetings and long-running relationships, rather than abstract models. Paulson describes engagement with senior Chinese leaders and officials across multiple phases of his career, which he uses to illustrate how authority is exercised and how policy priorities are set. The emphasis is on the practical reality that China is not only a market, but also a political system, where outcomes depend on institutional hierarchies, party discipline, and the alignment of national goals with local implementation. This perspective helps explain why foreign counterparts often misread signals, timelines, and commitments when they assume Western-style transparency or legal predictability. The book also underscores that the same person may play different roles depending on context: technocratic steward of economic performance, political actor within the party, and representative of national strategy and external negotiations. By focusing on process and incentives, Paulson aims to give readers a more realistic map of how to communicate, negotiate, and interpret Chinese responses, especially when messages are indirect and decisions require consensus across powerful stakeholders. Secondly, state-controlled capitalism and the logic behind it. Paulson frames modern China as a system where market mechanisms operate within firm political boundaries, producing a distinctive form of state-directed capitalism. The book explores how this model powered rapid growth while allowing the party to retain control over key levers such as finance, major enterprises, and strategic sectors. For Western readers, the important insight is that economic choices frequently serve political stability and long-term national objectives, not only profitability or consumer welfare. This shapes everything from the role of state-owned enterprises to the way credit is allocated and how regulation can be used to guide outcomes. Paulson highlights the resulting tensions: reforms that increase efficiency can also reduce control, while tighter control can undermine the very dynamism that made China successful. Understanding this trade-off becomes essential for anyone trying to forecast China's trajectory or assess the durability of its growth model. The discussion also clarifies why China can appear contradictory to outsiders, simultaneously welcoming investment and limiting access, promoting competition, and favoring national champions. The book treats these features less as anomalies and more as predictable outputs of a system designed to deliver growth without surrendering political authority. Thirdly, how to engage China as a Western business or policy leader. Dealing with China is explicitly concerned with engagement, what approaches work, what assumptions fail, and how Western actors can pursue their interests without misunderstanding China's constraints. Paulson argues that effective engagement depends on preparation and realism, including a clear grasp of what China values most: stability, growth, and sovereignty in decision-making. From a business standpoint, the book encourages readers to treat relationships and institutional context as strategic necessities, not optional cultural flourishes. And from a policy standpoint, it emphasizes that negotiations must balance firmness on core interests with an appreciation for how Chinese leaders interpret pressure, reciprocity, and face. The book also addresses competition and the desire to profit in China, but it does so against the backdrop that access can be conditional and that outcomes may hinge on alignment with Chinese priorities. A practical takeaway is that success often comes from knowing where interests overlap and building proposals that fit China's development goals, while maintaining disciplined risk management for areas where incentives diverge. The book thereby serves as a field guide for operating in an environment where political economy and commercial opportunity are inseparable. Fourthly, economic reform versus political control in an authoritarian system. One of the book's recurring themes is the delicate balance Chinese leaders attempt to maintain between economic liberalization and continued one-party rule. Paulson presents this as a defining tension, not a temporary phase. because reforms that improve productivity and allocate capital more efficiently can also create independent centers of power, increase social demands, and reduce the party's ability to manage outcomes. The book highlights how China's leaders pursue selective reform, opening certain markets, experimenting with pilots, and adjusting policy in ways that preserve ultimate control. This helps explain why reforms can advance in some areas while stalling in others, and why progress may be uneven across regions and sectors. For Western audiences, the important lesson is to avoid linear expectations that economic modernization automatically leads to Western-style political convergence. Paulson's narrative suggests that many Chinese officials see their legitimacy tied to delivering growth and stability, which can make them pragmatic about economic changes yet cautious about political ones. The resulting system is adaptive but constrained, capable of significant policy shifts while remaining bounded by political imperatives that shape the pace, direction, and limits of reform. Lastly, environmental and social pressures as economic and diplomatic constraints beyond trade and finance. The book acknowledges that China's growth has been accompanied by major environmental and social challenges, which in turn affect governance and international engagement. Paulson treats these pressures as material constraints on policy, not merely moral issues, because pollution, resource stress, and public health concerns can threaten social stability and long-term growth. These realities influence how Chinese leaders weigh development priorities and how receptive they may be to cooperation in areas like clean technology and environmental governance. The broader point is that China's internal challenges can shape external behavior. Leaders must manage domestic expectations while sustaining economic performance, which can make certain compromises harder and others more attractive for investors and executives. This theme reframes risk assessment by highlighting that regulatory shifts and policy campaigns may be driven by social and environmental necessity as much as by industrial strategy. For policymakers, it shows a potential area where interests can overlap, even amid strategic rivalry, because shared problems encourage pragmatic collaboration. In the book's account, understanding these drivers is part of understanding China itself, a country whose global role is inseparable from the internal costs and consequences of its extraordinary growth. In conclusion, dealing with China is best suited to readers who need operational clarity rather than slogans senior business leaders exploring partnerships or market entry. Investors assessing political economy risk and public officials or policy students focused on United States-China relations. Its main benefit is intellectual discipline about incentives and constraints. Paulson repeatedly brings readers back to how the Chinese system works in practice, showing why decisions can be fast yet opaque, reform-minded yet tightly controlled, and commercially ambitious yet strategically guarded. The book also offers a useful bridge between boardroom logic and government logic, reflecting the author's experience in both settings. That dual perspective helps readers understand why business negotiations can become political and why diplomatic initiatives often depend on economic realities. Compared with many China books that emphasize ideology, grand strategy, or prediction, this one stands out for its engagement-focused framing and its reliance on lived experience with top-level counterparts. At the same time, it is not an abstract academic study, and readers looking for a comprehensive, detached analysis may find it more personal than they expect. As a guide to thinking clearly about how to deal with China as it rose into superpower status, it remains a valuable, grounded contribution to a crowded field. If you would like to support Henry M. Paulson Jr., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.